Christ's precious name this morning. This week, as I was thinking about my sermon, maybe the last couple weeks, I've been thinking a lot about something that in December there, I guess most of you know, my wife and I went to our Ranching for Profit school in Edmonton, and as we went through that, I told my wife numerous times that everything I'm learning here, it affects so much more than our ranch. I said, so much of this is church. And it gave me a lot to think about. I'm going to write the title up on the board here. The title is Paradigms. Anyone that hasn't done the school yet, anyhow, know what the word means. Any ideas? Paradigm is our subconscious belief that guides our actions and decisions. It's, if you put your hands up and what you see, it's your perspective on whatever it is. You know, if a rancher that ranches, and he says a rancher never makes money ranching, he does it because he loves it. That's right. He will never make money. He'll do it because he loves it, but he'll survive. But one that has a vision and sees an end, he will succeed. And you can take that into any type of business, life, whatever, into church. We're going to look at paradigms a little. We want to learn what the word means a little bit better. And there's things that I borrow from our school. I recognize that it's not something that I just came up with or learned. But yeah, it's something I learned, and it touched me a lot. Gave me a lot to think about. And what I want to share this morning is a burden on my heart for our church here, and churches around the world, really. So we already, a paradigm is our perspective. It's our subconscious belief, what we've always believed. It's what comes out of us. And having the right paradigm does not guarantee success either. We can have the right idea, the right vision there, but it doesn't guarantee success. But take note, to have the wrong paradigm guarantees failure. Personal life, in church, relationships, wherever. And there's three steps we learned, and I'm going to use them. I guess people could argue that and put more in there, but I think there's three simple steps. And we're going to call our paradigm our beliefs. I'm going to write three things on the board here quickly. Those three things are how we look at life. That's what we see. Mentally, we think. At the top is what we see. The results we always see. We see the results in whatever. In our business, in our personal life, in our everything. We see the results. We don't often think about the middle one, the actions. And we don't realize what the paradigms are, what our beliefs are even sometimes. All we focus on is the results. And to change the results, we often go to the action part. When we see a business that's not working, we say, well, we need to go in there. We need to change a few things. We need to get 3 more employees. We need to cut this and do that. We have all the actions that we can see. Take it to church. We're part of a church. We see the problems. We see the results. And if it's good, wonderful. We continue and we look at the actions. That's what we continue. I think we need to focus a little different. I think we need to start down here. What's the belief in business? What's the belief? Why do I have this business? Is it just to make a living? Is it just to take what I can and get by? Why am I here in this church? Why am I part of this church this morning? Those are valid questions. And as we look at why we would join the church, we look at the results. And when we're trying to decide, would I join this church? We look at the results and decide, are those the type of people I want to be part of? If we don't like it, well, we go to the actions next. Where we need to first start, what do they believe? When I'm part of this church and I don't like the results, do I start with the actions? Does that make sense? Your beliefs dictate your actions, and your actions dictate your results. You cannot attack it any other way, I don't believe. Thinking about comparisons, just maybe a paradigm comparison, or maybe I think I have 2 here to think about. Let's just start with a simple one. The rancher says, you can't do anything about the weather, so why worry? The weather's out of my control. He's right. But if he changes that vision and says, there's a lot of things I can do to prepare for and manage through extreme weather conditions. Which person will be successful when we're talking ranching in a drought? Which person's going to be successful when it's muddy in Canuso? The ones that have prepared. Those of us that sit around, well, it's going to get muddy anyhow, we're going to have a rough summer. Here's another one, and this is just my wording, but this is what my burden is. My church isn't active and vibrantly serving Christ. What about if we looked at it this way? There are so many things I can do to help my church actively serve Christ and our community. The person is still looking at the same thing, but he's looking at it in a positive way. His paradigm is different today. Instead of, my church is at fault here, everything is wrong here, everyone is doing things I don't like, instead of, he brings it to me. What can I do? I am burdened with how many people, they look at the churches, they say, are falling apart. There's just no life left. What can I do to help my church actively serve Christ in our community? Stephen Covey, I'm going to quote him a couple times, but he says, we see the world as it is, when in fact we see the world as we are. And I'm going to change that a little bit. We think we see the church as it is, when in fact we see the church as we are. And I believe that is very accurate the more I think about it and study. Stephen Covey tells a story, and I didn't jot it all down. I'm going to tell it to the best. If you've heard it already, I do not want to change it, but this is how I remember it. He was on a subway early a Sunday morning, and I don't know where he was headed, but in New York City. And he had a nice, it was quiet, there was other people there, he was reading the newspaper. A young father and 2 children stepped on at the one stop. Father sat down, he held his head in his hands and sat there quietly. And the children were quiet for a while, and they soon started running around. They were noisy. They were bothersome, he said. One grabbed someone's newspaper. And Stephen sat there and watched it. The father didn't do nothing, and it bothered him. Finally, he went over, and he asked the father, why don't you stop these children? Why don't you do something about that? Father said, I'm sorry. He looked up and said, I'm sorry. I really probably should. But he said, I'm sorry. We just left the hospital where their mother died and my wife about an hour ago. He said, they don't know how to cope with it yet, and I probably don't either. Suddenly, Stephen said, the whole scene was different. His paradigm changed. When he knew why the results were, he understood. Once you see things as they are, you think, you feel, you act differently, and you do it. And it becomes automatic. It becomes spontaneous eventually. Romans 12. I'm going to try to build a little bit of a paradigm here. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're going to start with just the question, am I conforming this morning, or am I transformed? What am I? You know, what is the church? Is it a conforming church? Is it a transformed church? Is it different? Does it stand out? Is it doing what Christ wants it to do? Am I doing what Christ wants me to do? See the paradigm? Am I conformed or am I transformed? That's the question we probably all ask each other as we look at our lives, as we look at our brothers and sisters, as we look at our church here this morning. Are we conformed or are we transformed? Let's go into the Old Testament for another little, the action side of it. Let's call it that. We're the middle point. Isaiah 55, if you're taking notes or following along, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8, 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what's a conformed or a transformed mind going to do here? This is the action side. This is it. This is the shift in, our perspective maybe of church, is when I realize that God is up here, I am here, and I am never going to reach a level where I am just safe now. I am continually striving for better. I am continually striving to be more like Jesus. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my way. They're up here. They're out of your reach. But I'm consistently striving for a higher. Second Corinthians 5, back in the New Testament. I'm sorry, we're jumping around. As I was studying this, these verses came to me. 17, I think I'll read. This is the result now, I believe, of that action, of realizing, of attaining a higher. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the world in reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the result, folks. If we don't like the result of our lives, we tend to go back and focus on our thoughts, but I think we need to go back, am I conforming or am I a transformed believer this morning? Think about that. I hope I made that clear enough that we can understand that. I want to look at a couple paradigms that I believe. Can I call them paradigm shifts? If you want to see a difference, you need to change the way you think. If you want your ranch to succeed, and as you look over the books at the end of the year, you know, most of us just like, well, I hope next year's better. Well, if you want it to be better, plan on it being better, and it may be better then. Same with our church. I hope this church is better soon. If you want your church to be better, you need to be better. Apostle Paul is my first person. My mind just went there. The thought about a paradigm shift. And let's read that story. I think we'll take the time. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9 there. Maybe we won't read all of it because it'll take some time, but... You know, and right there, we'll just kind of breeze through it here. You know, Paul's going around, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. So he was persecuting them. He was destroying them in a lot of ways, it seemed like. And anyhow, verse 3 there, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And let's just go down through verse 8 there. It says, Saul rose from the earth, his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and did neither eat nor drink. Then God talks to someone there named Ananias. He said, Ananias. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He hath seen a vision, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear thy name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in a way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Do you see the paradigm shift, the total different direction there? That's called a paradigm shift. That's when Saul went from persecuting to being the one that he was persecuting. Does that make sense? It was a total shift of thinking. Matthew 5. Start reading verse 2 there. And he opened his mouth, taught, and saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. A total shift of thinking here, folks. From Matthew 5, and if you would jump back 10 chapter, or 5 chapters, you're in the Old Testament again. And the Old and the New Covenant, a total different way of thinking. That's a paradigm shift. And Christ brought that shift in from the Old Covenant to the New. And you read those verses, not many of them go along with Leviticus, Numbers. You know, I've just been reading through that in in the my devotions, and I'm just amazed at, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and then we come to this, and he talks about being a poor in spirit, being meek, doing things that he had done away with now. Hebrews 8, the last one I want to look at here. Verse 13, and what that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And I believe the old and the new covenant is a good example of a paradigm. And in speaking of the new covenant here, he makes the old one, can I say obsolete? Something that's obsolete is it's old, it's... it was good in its time. And I found that interesting. I looked it up, and he uses a Greek word here called pepeleiken. It's meaning to declare something worn or out of date. And in this verse kind of frames the old covenant that way. It wasn't bad. It was designed by God. But he says, as a completed stage, Christ replaced that now by a superior system. That's a paradigm. Do we understand? I feel like we went through a lot of stuff fast. I guess the remainder of the sermon, I just want to share some things. It's burdens I have. It's things I've been thinking about. And I'm sharing them in a form of a paradigm. And I just not going to have many more verses to look at, but just as we look at these things, it's challenges that I want us to be able to take home and think about. And if you feel I'm looking at it wrong, I'm more than open to discuss them and talk about them. But I am concerned about some of these things. And I believe we need... you know, as I studied in December, I definitely was, and probably most of us farmers and ranchers are that way. We tend to just do things over and over because, you know, my dad did it that way, or that's just the way we farm. That's the way we ranch. That's the way we do things around here. And the actions are what we're doing, and the result is just kind of what we expect. And as we don't like the results often, we try to change our actions, but we never change the way we think. We never change the way we think about ranching. So it never do we have different results until I change the way I think about ranching. The same is in our personal life, in our church. If we don't like the results, we go and we look at the actions and we point out things. If people would do this, if the ministry would do this, whoever. But I believe we need a change of vision. I believe a paradigm shift. I'm going to start with one that I been thinking a lot about, but is we need to change from being, can I say, passive consumers of a religious product, maybe, to active co-laborers in Christ's kingdom. I feel we tend to, maybe we've always grown up this way, this is the way we do it. And we get discouraged with church because of that. We're kind of just moved through the system. And maybe it is the ministry's fault. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the father's and mother's fault. I don't know. But when I view church as just something that's passive, something I can just kind of go with the flow, that's the result I'm going to get. I believe a shift we need to change, maybe a shift in mindset that we need. It's the view of the church as a group of disciples this morning who are being continually formed and sent to serve. The action. What do we need to change? What do we need to do? I don't know. Maybe instead of asking people just to join us, just to be a member here, call them to a clear discipleship. Call them to a clear discipleship pathway that guides their spiritual growth, their spiritual thinking, the way they do things from a new believer to committed leaders. So many of us join the church and it's a place to worship. It's a place that I can be a member so I can get married, so I can move through life and do the things I want. And the ministry are the ones that are saddled with the work. But if I would change my way of thinking and realize that we're all in this together, I am to be part of this. I'm going from a believer to a committed leader. We're all there. In our homes, maybe. Put it in your homes, wherever you're struggling this morning. Another paradigm, I believe it, I titled this a broken one. The broken paradigm is that it's the ministry's job to do the church while the congregation watches and deciphers what is right or wrong. I was going to turn to Ephesians 4, but I don't think we will. Jot that down. Go look at that. Read it today. Based on Ephesians 4, though, I believe the leader's primary role is simply to equip saints for the work of the ministry. To lead, to direct, yes. But to equip every one of us for the work of the ministry. What's the action point in that? There's different ones. I jotted different things down, but I believe we need to move away from that mindset of that church, that it's just a committee, it's people that are in charge running it, and I'm just kind of going with the flow, to where we are all a collaborative ministry team. Doesn't that change the way you would look at church today? Doesn't that change the way you would look at your brother or your sister beside you? Instead of, no, let's just move on. Let's just think about that. Another paradigm shift to think about maybe is that church is just a place. It's just a place to visit. It's just a building. Folks, today the church is people. It is followers of Jesus Christ. It's not just a building. And I believe that change needs to be made every day. We need to realize that shift in thinking. We need to think maybe more church is occurring in our daily lives. It's occurring in our business, in our homes, in our workplaces. If I realize more and more that the church is in my young people sitting here today, how would I lead my home? How would it change me? Instead of church is just a place to come, they have Sunday school, we get to hear a sermon, we can go home, and we can figure out the rest of the week. But I realize that church is every day. Church is the way I'm living. Church is my home. That's a paradigm shift when I changed into that. We need to transition from an attraction mode, trying to get people to become members, and to come into where we have incarnated people coming in. People that are changed. People that are transformed that want to make a difference. Where members live, they work the church every day. If church is only on Sunday, we need a paradigm shift. And I'm burdened because I feel too many of us, myself, we live that way. We separate church from business. And I'm not here saying that you cannot, but I believe we need to be careful. Why do I have my business? Is it strictly to see how much money I can get? Or do I see every customer as just a potential customer or as a soul that needs Jesus? Last one I think I'm going to use, and I believe we need a paradigm shift on this, is financial stewardship. And I believe our church is too much financial stewardship is simply paying the bills to keep the institution running, just enough to survive. And I want to turn that around a little more. If we would see stewardship as aligning all of our resources, our time, our talents, our money, as aligning it with God's mission. What is God's mission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy. In other words, we are called, we have a purpose. And there's different things. I wrote down, I jotted quite a few things down, but maybe start with our ministry, our deacons here. Can we provide clear financial transparency so members can see exactly how their giving impacts the kingdom? And those for the rest of us, we need to realize everything I have is God's, I believe, and realize the active church we want to see needs us, time, talent, and money. It takes a paradigm shift to see that. I believe, at least myself, you know, as long as we're getting by, as long as things are working out, we're all right. But so often, the church that we want to see cannot be that because I am not what I need to be. Your beliefs dictate your actions, and your actions dictate your results. This morning my burden is for our church here, and for many of the churches that we work with and serve. But my burden this morning is, I hear so many people, well, the churches aren't alive, the people aren't alive. There's just, the Lord's not working like He used to. Change yourself. That's where it starts. Each one of us, if we want to see that difference, we need to be the difference. Because as we look around, we look at the actions, and you can change, you can try to change people's actions, but as long as there's not a paradigm shift, not a shift of direction, nothing's going to change in the results. You know, I guess one thing that I found as I looked at that schooling there, you know, if we go through life and it's always negative, if I just hope that I make it this year, there's a high possibility I might not. And if I just hope this morning that this is a good church, there's a high possibility it will not be. But if I plan on this being a good church, a church where I can see my children growing up, being faithful here, having faithful homes someday, I believe it will be. It's a shift of thinking. I'm sorry, I feel like I've jumped all over, but it was a burden I had, and I just want to leave it with you today. If you are struggling with the direction of travel of the church here, of the homes here, maybe your own life, instead of focusing on changing the actions, look at your vision, look at your goal. Am I conformed or am I transformed? May the Lord bless you. Thank you.